I'm Rob.
I'm E.
And I'm DJ Haram.
Welcome to the next movement, folks. DJ Haram, we've been very much looking forward to this. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh my God, thank you for asking me.
Of course.
Come on.
Yours is a name that we've talked about quite frequently when we discuss who we want to have on the show. So glad to be able to make it happen.
Oh, that's dope. That means a lot to me. I care a lot about like independent media and stuff. It's kind of the only thing that matters anymore. Especially in music.
Yeah, for sure.
Right.
Y'all's time is valuable, so appreciate it.
Yeah, appreciate that. Let's just dive right in. You have a new EP coming on December 1st. It's called Hand Play. The first single, also called Hand Play, just dropped yesterday on Halloween. Very dope. Mm-hmm. I am terrible at describing sounds and genres, so I won't even try. I'll just say that the first 45 seconds of the second track, No Funeral, just got me like super hype. I'm excited for folks to hear this. I feel like the songs on this EP might utilize your voice and vocals in a way that we maybe haven't heard before on your solo recordings. You've even been intentional about sharing lyrics online. It looks like it's going to be in the cassette packaging.
Mm-hmm.
The Bandcamp description refers to these songs as a lyrical glimpse of you as a lover, daughter, and comrade. And I'm wondering what led you to take this direction on these songs.
Well, it's the first solo project that I have worked on and am putting out since the 700 Bliss album, Nothing to Declare, which was the first time that I did vocals on my own music, on any music. I've since done a couple features. Only one of them is out. And as I'm sure you guys know, that's on Gang's Shook World, Shook by Algiers Reimagination. But yeah, I mean, honestly, I've always enjoyed writing and I've always enjoyed words and I've always tried to use music to convey a message, even through the sound design. And the story of why I'm doing vocals is the same of why, that's why I did it with 700 Bliss, which is that more mother told me to. And I was like, yes, ma'am. So going okay, you know, sometimes you just have to trust the goddess. Mm-hmm. It's fun. It's something I didn't think I would do beyond 700 Bliss. The longer story with that is that we were working on Nothing to Declare during lockdown. And there was just kind of a lot going on and we had a lot of songs that needed more verses, and Kameh and More Mother was like, you know, are you going to write? Like, you write, like, why can't you do some vocals? Like, why do I got to do all this writing to help us finish the album and this? And I was like, all right, I'll try. And, you know, I was kind of sitting around waiting anyway. And it's kind of just like, if your favorite writer ever is like encouraging you and validating you, it's like, okay, step up. And it's your friend who will also like hold your hand when you play shows together. Yeah. And it's like fun and it's meaningful to me. And I think in dance music in general, I don't know if this is something that's really comes across you a lot, but more and more people I think are using vocals because I think they are feeling that like the messages they want to convey are not adequately conveyed without using words, you know? So that's what's going on there.
When you think about the three identities that Rob just mentioned, you as a lover, a daughter, and a comrade, Does it feel like these and other parts of who you are always represented in the work that you do?
I do for sure, in a way where I'm like, that's just how it is, because boy, like, do I wish that I could compartmentalize parts of myself and only be part of myself for people, you know? But you get in the whole thing the whole time, even if parts of it are very passive at times. So yeah, I think that like sharing vocals and writing lyrics is like interesting, because to me, I've been as detail oriented about the story that goes into the music before as I am now. Like, I'm not more into it now. When I was working on instrumental projects and when I work on beats for rappers who put their own narrative over it, I still kind of come up with my own idea of what story is being told through the music.
I think it's interesting that you phrased it as like sharing vocals, because I was thinking about the Bandcamp write-up for or spotlight that was out in 2019 for your project Grace. And In that spotlight, there's a reference to your belief that the energy of the drums are the machinery of the body, the soul and the spirit. And it just struck me as such a personal perspective of your music, a oneness between what exists internally and what is created externally. And so from this perspective, like it's literally like you're giving us pieces of you with each show, each gig, each record. And I kind of feel like that's evident in the way that you weave together like all of your musical influences. But clearly that involves some emotional and spiritual component as well. It really sounds like that with hand play. So there's this continual process of giving, and I think a certain generosity that you might practice every time you make music.
Wow, thank you.
Yeah, of course, thank you. I just wonder, does it change you in any way from one project or DJ set to the next?
Oh, wow. Does it change me?
Yeah, that continuous practice of generosity.
Yeah, it takes parts of you away that you'll never get back. It really does. But it's okay, because that's just what happens. The resources in this life, this meeting place that we're all in, like, are finite. And like every day I spend is a day I will never get away or get back. You know what I mean? Like, and there's nothing I can do to fight that. And yeah, 100%. And oh my gosh, yeah. As like such a emotional person who tries to emotionally engage so hard, sheesh, that's why bad shows are suck. It's just like, oh my God, it just took so much from me. And then no one had a good time. But yeah, definitely. That's an interesting question. I didn't know that's where you were going with that preamble.
Yeah, I noticed you smile when I started like quoting the Grace spotlight.
Yeah, because I was like, you're going to have to get a direct quote because I don't remember what I was thinking. But I still like drums a lot. It's funny because at the time then I was much more in like dance music world, like fully DJ / producer, only very little vocals on anybody's tracks. And now I'm much more in rapper / just general underground, you know, MC artist producer collab world. And like, you know, I will say the drums on some of these rap producers will really put some of the club producers to shame. And I was really proud of myself in those days, but I feel like I have a whole new like space to become better, you know, or like type of communication with drums and the type of how drums can interact with the collaborator and, you know.
Yeah. So as we mentioned, the first single, Hand Play, dropped yesterday. And when it did, you got on Instagram at some point and you thanked people for tapping in. And you went on to say something that I thought was really interesting. You said you've just been living in your own world, deciding how you want to present the fantasies and magic worlds that you create by yourself. I'm wondering what determines how and if you will invite listeners into what begins as a private sonic journey. Do you ever keep parts of those fantasies and worlds to yourself?
Yeah, I mean, that's funny that you say that. Also, I tried to take that video like 3 times. And all, I was just like, oh God. And I was just like, this is the best tape, but I just have to be extra gay and talk about magic. Damn it. Okay, fine. We'll go with this. But yeah, so on the record, magical is the word. But yeah, no, definitely. It's funny you say that because this EP was going to be a much longer EP. And I decided I wasn't like ready to share certain stuff. And I mean, it's not, I'm not trying to put it in everybody's face, but I have softly announced that I'm releasing a solo album next year. So I'm hoping to just kind of develop it. I don't know. I mean, I guess it's super personal to decide what I want to share and don't want to share and like what I feel like is good for to release now or to hold on to and maybe use later or something. But I feel like it's really just like wrestling with like these ideas of like what I should be doing and what I actually want to do and what I think would be useful to do with my music as far as interacting with the world of music and the world in general. But yeah, I was going to put out like maybe like 5-6 songs as like a proper medium length EP. And then I was like, these ideas are not developed enough to the point that I would be ready to discuss them with just about anybody with an internet connection.
It sounds like that could be a difficult task and maybe it puts you in a vulnerable position.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I'd be feeling vulnerable.
Yeah,
that's the idea. But I guess that's the idea too with using my voice is like I like write and just kind of even pursuing doing solo music at all because I love working with More Mother, I love working with other rappers, I love DJing other people's music. Like it's not something I necessarily like feel like, you know, back against the wall, rent is due, let me drop this DJ Haram album. But I do feel like, you know, the vulnerability brings you closer to the truth and it impacts my journey and what I'm able to bring.
Yeah.
Even in other times when I'm not doing it. So, it you know, like even just from the way where like some people are like, I hate how my voice sounds or the things I have to say are stupid or all the layers of how it's vulnerable. So
I feel that. Let's dig into No Funeral for a bit. Were you going to say something, Rob?
I was just going to make a joke. It's the reason why we don't go back and listen to old episodes of The Next Movement.
I just That's told somebody the other day. I was like, I do not listen to old episodes because I hate my voice.
Well, hate you voice. Know, the thing also, though, but with the benefit, not that I'm trying to preach anything to anybody, but the thing is that's cool about what you're already doing is like, giving yourself stuff to listen back to if you want to, because the voice can be what you want it to be. I mean, my voice has changed even just aging as a woman or whatever, but it's like you can use your voice intentionally and there's nothing shameful about being performative in this way. I feel like people have this weird idea of authenticity where it's like you can't try to be who you want to be. You have to just be who you are with no effort. And it's like, what if I want to use my voice to be like a little sexier than I am when I'm just talking to you on the bus? Let me live, you know? Yeah. I want it to sound better this time. You know what I mean? So I feel like it's like a cool archive to be like, all right, what's my radio voice? You know, my podcast voice.
Yeah.
Also, like, how do you know who you want to be if you don't try something different? You know, if you don't like try something out. Yeah,
you got to explore it.
Yeah.
Let's dig into No Funeral for a bit, the second track on the EP. It's been described as a song that channels feminine resilience through volatile guitars, distorted vocals, and a sludgy beat. I really thought about the three elements being named here and the relationship to the expectations around how women and femmes are supposed to carry themselves and move throughout the world, especially in the music industry. I think some of this is being shouted out in the EP's description, but it feels like part of the resiliency that's being called out and what's felt in your production on No Funeral is rooted in rebellion against the expected norms for this community. So did that consciously inform the direction you took on this track?
Oh, that's such a complicated question you just asked me, though. That was really complicated. Hold up. Are you asking me if I consciously was trying to subvert norms that or expectations of me in a gendered way with the music?
Yeah, so sort of like, so what I imagine when I read the description of the song, like and what's being named here, like volatile guitars, distorted vocals, and a sludgy beat. There's so many expectations around how women and femmes are supposed to move in the world, and those words are not generally ones that people like to associate with femininity, right? So I was thinking, like, those elements were used purposely on this track to rebel against that, to rebel against those expectations that people put on women and femmes.
You know, I think you're onto something, but it's not as, I guess that's just like something that's just true about me in general. I feel like I gravitate towards aesthetic extremes, and I definitely engage in and or like entertain various ideas about gendered aesthetics and whatnot. I think I've always been into pretty heavy music, though. I guess I don't really think about it that much. I don't know. Would you say, how would you describe Handplay in this way? Because I feel like Handplay is so loud and just like banging that I find it, I would call it volatile, aggressive, sludgy even, because it's almost so loud and kind of in your face that it's also distorted. So I would feel it. But then I guess I could see how, like,
maybe not necessarily the people that would be, maybe not necessarily the people that would be engaging with your work, but I just feel generally speaking in society, there's just this, I'm sort of thinking about the music industry. Let's just use that as an example as a whole, and how expectations placed on women who are artists and how they're supposed to perform, what they're supposed to sound like, what kind of sounds they're supposed to use in their music. And so for me, like, hearing this, that totally rebels against that. Like, it's kind of saying, like, fuck that. I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to use the sounds that I want. And either you're with it or you're not. And so that's sort of what I felt whenever I heard the EP, you know. I remember Kathleen Hanna from Bikini Kill saying once, she was talking about playing the guitar, and she was just like, men are going to fucking criticize you anyway, so you might as well play it however the fuck you want to play it. And I thought about that too, like, just sort of this rebellion against, like, the expectations that are placed on this community. That's where I was going with that.
No, I'm totally with you. I guess it's just like a thing that I don't, I didn't necessarily think was reflected in that track, but I see what you're saying. I totally see what you're saying. And I guess I think for me, that just kind of goes without saying for me in a way. I mean, I think when it comes to being like a so-called like marginalized person or existing at certain like overlaps of oppression in the industry, being someone who's not wealthy, whatever.
Yeah.
It's never really about the aesthetic. It's never really about what the music sounds like. It's about how, like, people are systematically excluded and certain people are worth being invested in because they're either willing to or more able to be a product. So it's like, I think it's all relative. Like, I think both tracks are pretty aggressive and I think they're both pretty, like, femme, but maybe a little gender queer if I had to put a gender on my songs. But, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like I hear really aggressive and, like, hard shit put behind anybody as long as it can sell right. Like, I always say that because I feel like, I think in the past maybe I would have been maybe on more on that tip, and maybe I've just been working on it so long that I'm, like, focusing on different ideas. But, like, I feel like in the past before too, I would be like, oh, my music is, like, so experimental, it's like rebellious in this way and distinctly outside of the mainstream because it's like weird and experimental. And then I started listening to stuff and understanding things about post-production, and I'm like, no, like, my shit is experimental for sure, but, like, other people just have, like, post-production that makes it sound a certain way, and there's a lot of really weird stuff that gets distributed really far and that gets normalized because of the way it's presented.
That's a good point.
So, but, like, in a way, though, maybe this speaks a little bit to your point. In a way, with the two tracks, they do sound so different. And I really was like, the first song is for the girls and the gays, and the second song is also for the girls and the gays, but this is the one that the rap fans are going to be like, damn, she should have gave that to Arm & Hammer. She shouldn't have done this shit on it. She should have gave it to a real rapper. Like, so I feel like in some ways, like, we're meeting somewhere about,
yeah, no, I feel you, yeah.
Yeah, that's so funny, because on that second track, after the drums left, I was like, oh, bring back the drums.
Yeah.
That's not to say the rest of the track isn't great.
It's funny, I didn't decide to even put that part in the beginning of the song until pretty late, and I was like, what are you talking about at first? And then I remembered, and I was like, oh yeah, that was a good decision. Because it was like a separate track, and then I added that. I have like a full beat. Like, I'm basically sampled myself in the intro of it. So I have that's like, that'll be on my album, probably with a real rapper.
Okay. Yeah, I was just going to say, I'm glad you kept it for yourself.
Oh. Well, I'll try to work really hard on myself and, yeah, fulfill it.
Well, I apologize. I don't have the names of the folks involved with the cover of this EP, but it is beautiful. I mean, it features, thanks. Obviously people can't see it, but it features this close-up photo of you. With hand play written in bright red typography. I'm going to take us back to English class for like a hot minute, but seeing this and reading and hearing what you were speaking to on the title track, I randomly thought about the Scarlet Letter and this idea of a woman being shamed for exercising her sexual freedom by having to wear this big red A on her person, right? So with hand play, it's like you've done the complete opposite. So I was just wondering, how involved were you with the direction of the cover?
So that's so awesome. And I can't wait to tell the designer that, the graphic designer who did the design and all the artwork is Sultana Garitano. She did the artwork for my last Hyperdub release, the Grace one. That one was an illustration. And basically the way we work together is like, I tell her a bunch of like ideological, weird, vague ideas that I'm thinking about. And then she like translates it into design. And obviously I share the music with her and stuff like that. She is super interesting and is definitely like a Marxist feminist nerd, and probably will like that you made an immediate reference like that. I didn't even think of that. Red was kind of just the color that I was like, this is the color of this era for a bunch of reasons. But I'm no stranger to sin and talking about sin in my so-called brand, so love it. But yeah, so pretty much she came up with how it looked, is what I'm saying. The photo, I did pick the photo, and I did take the photo and work on art direction and stuff of the photo with a photographer in Brooklyn, Ebru Yildiz, and Father Fanny helped do styling for the photo. So like all those aesthetic elements went into directing it. But yeah, that was all Sultana on the design.
Came together nicely.
Thank you. Yeah, I don't think I shared all the art of the Jake card, but I will soon. It looks cool. I feel like a video game character or something like. Just like so many images of me featured, I'm like, whoa. What's that? Is that band art?
So let's dig into the work that you've done with other folks.
Say it to my face, nigga. It only matters when I mean it, nothing else. your magic quote, speak whatever lie you tell yourself. No slave, no rhyme, no slave, no rhyme. Who needs to think when your feet just go? Who needs to think when your mouth just run?
You recently produced two tracks on the Arm & Hammer album, the new Arm & Hammer album. And so I want to start with Trauma Mike. I love this song. I remember the day it came out, I listened to it over and over and over again. And I can't remember who I was telling, but I was just like, I was talking to somebody on Instagram and I was like, I cannot stop listening to this song. I think your choice of percussion on this production is what carries the entire track. The tone is set as soon as we hear those cymbals crashing, and they are the anchors that keep everyone else on the song grounded from start to finish. When you're experimenting with different patterns during the creative process, is part of the objective to find a dominant sound that will help guide and narrate a song?
Drum patterns or just any music patterns?
Yeah, patterns, like sounds, like is there something that, like when you are sort of experimenting with just different sounds in general, are you looking for like a dominant pattern or even just sound that will help guide and narrate a song?
Yeah, a lot of times, yeah. And like it can take a different direction, but that's definitely a thing I like a tactic I use to like create something. And I can get pretty like fixated on like detailed sound design in tracks. So a lot of times I will like focus on one element and be like, this cymbal sounds so good. Like people, I could listen to people rap over just this cymbal and it would be so cool and cinematic. But like, you know, I don't think I can convince anyone to do that yet. So like, I gotta sell the cymbal or the crash cymbal, you know?
Yeah.
So that's that. You definitely heard that.
Yeah.
Heard that accurately. Yeah. Yeah, I wanted that song to sound like, I would like, sometimes I just want to be in a band, you know, it just feels like a fun and cool way to make music. Like you just play one instrument and then like other people play other instruments and everybody's like so good and can focus on that one element. Like that's so cool. And like, yeah, it just seems fun to be in a band, but like also a logistical nightmare and like harder to generate sustainable income because you're splitting it with multiple people, you know, it's really complicated. So I was like, all right, let me just try to like sound like a band and not super duper think into every single element. Like it's like the deepest thing ever, but just like come together as something that's like powerful. So yeah, just like rap metal band.
You also co-produced Supermoon with Elucid. And I think in my head, I'm making a lot of assumptions about how this came together, but I was thinking about the two of you working on this. And I imagine this magic creative energy flowing between the two of you, because I feel like you're both on a similar sonic wavelength and you also channel a lot of spirituality, which makes for an excellent collaboration in my mind. So could you tell us how the process of you and Elucid putting the production on this track came together?
It's pretty much like Elucid gave me some stems, like sound design stuff in the beat. And we also had a session where I kind of like produced it and he like told me stuff he liked. And then like he had his computer out, was playing some stuff. Like it's a very like sound design heavy track. If you listen to it, there's like the piano and the drums, which are prominent and loud in the mix, but other than that there's a lot of like weird little synthy sounds and like stuff like that really make up a lot of the beat. And yeah, like he helped me pick what sounds went in, kind of like what went in the beat exactly. Because you know what it was, I don't like send out that many beats when I send people beats, and I had sent them like maybe like 4 beats and they didn't like any of them. And then the one that they did like was one that I like happened to send to Woods, and I didn't even think it would be a contender, which was Trauma Mike. I don't know why I was sleeping on Trauma Mike like that. And then for the other one, they did this thing where they had like, they brought in a bunch of session musicians and then sent producers the stems. So like the piano in it is from that session. They sent me the session of when these session musicians were warming up They sent me like a really sparse, weird part of the session, and like it was barely anything for me to sample. So that's why it's just like a little bit of piano and then the drums. But that's kind of how it went. But I think me and Elucid have like pretty similar, like I feel like what ends up coming out is similar, but I feel like we don't actually have similar tastes. Because sometimes I'll send beats and he doesn't like them, and I'm like, are you crazy? What do you mean?
And that's like, interesting.
He'll do something on a beat and I'll be like, are you gonna do anything else? Like, what is this? So, yeah, I feel like we like our aesthetic like makes sense together, but I don't know. I'm interested in doing more co-producing with people in person. I haven't done that much, and that feels like a cool way to,
yeah,
you know, work out different aesthetics,
yeah,
or vibes. Yeah. I don't know.
For sure.
So we're talking about Trauma Mike, and I'll have to admit, I'm not like a video person, and mostly because I feel like I can't sit still long enough to watch a video, but
that's funny.
The clips of the video for Trauma Mike that were shared when the single dropped, like really grabbed me to the point where I had to sit down and watch the video. I love the video. Y'all are in a scrapyard throwing around sheet metal and banging on stuff with a pipe. It just, it's a perfect setting, I think, for the song. Y'all look like you may have had fun, but also it may have been dangerous at times. So I'm wondering what it was like to film it.
Oh my gosh. It was so cool. I've made a couple of videos with 700 Bliss, and I've like been around with like, you know, people I'm dating and stuff like that, making their music videos that are kind of bigger productions, but this was just so, I mean, it wasn't like a huge production, but it was a serious, professional, passionate artist link up moment. So it was just like super cool to, I just like, I feel like the coolest thing about making music, even if I never get super duper paid, is like I get to work hard enough that I can like actually access people who are like so good at what they do. And that's like such a privilege that I'm like, yeah, really cool. The coolest thing to me about that whole video is that in the end, I realized that they included some of the sound of the machinery at the scrap yard in the music video itself, which I didn't even notice until probably like the fourth time I watched the music video. And I was like, that's so cool. Like you just kind of like got the beat so well that even the natural environment of like the crazy place that you picked just like melted into this metal beat.
Yeah,
it was ridiculously hot. It was like 95 degrees plus. Like I didn't have anything to wear but a sweater, so I'm wearing a sweater, okay, and like get there at like noon when the sun is like right there in the middle of the sky, and of course we're filming my part first, so Elucid and Woods are just chilling. They can have some water like in the shade and like adjust and acclimate to the environment. And I'm just like, Henry and Tim Blake Nelson, the co-directors, father and son, I just like meet them and jump right into filming with them. And, you know, I'm not really like, I don't think I'm a very naturally very emotive or expressive person. I was just laughing at how Fader just called me deadpan. I was like, oh, I'm trying so hard to like not be deadpan. Like, you know, so I was like, okay, I'm not really good at like acting or nothing, but I want to be in this video because it's cool and everything. So I'm gonna try really hard. And they just said to me, they were like, whatever you do, like whatever you go with, whatever your angle or vibe you're going with in the scenes, just go with it really hard in that direction, like outdo it. And I was like, okay. And then they had me pushing this cart that was like a big ass, like dumpster, like plastic dumpster type of thing. And they had sandbags in it because there was a camera in it. So it was extremely heavy. And then they also had a bunch of metal stuff in it so that the shot could be framed with these like metal pieces. And they wanted me pushing it with one hand. I'm wearing heels. They wanted me pushing it with one hand and then banging on the dumpster while I'm pushing it and walking and banging on beat to the song, which is being played like 3 feet away while like all these people. Oh my God, it was like low-key difficult, but we did it like once.
Damn.
Twice. Yeah, we did it like once, twice. Then he said, like, he was like, go in, haram. I was like, okay, let me try to go in. And that was the shot that they ended up using, even though they did have me do it like mad more times. And that was the shot where I broke the pipe and cut my hand open.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, metal ass pipe, rusty and everything. But I really broke a pipe because I actually just stood there and I was like, let me think about something I'm pissed off about. Let me like just, I don't care. I can look crazy. I want to look mad.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny because a lucid comes up into the shot and I like a piece of pipe like flew or something like that. And I was like, that could have been so dangerous.
Oh wow.
But it wasn't, it was cool. But yeah, it was kind of dangerous. I mean, I don't know, anything could have happened. They were definitely talking about how they felt like something just could go wrong. People were dropping off huge amounts of metal too. This was a functional scrapyard.
Right,
it was like
right.
Also, it was also like move to the side. Like this giant truck is dropping off a bunch of shit. Like,
yeah. Yeah. There certainly shots were like Elucid is super close to that like machine that's picking up metal. And I was like, oh man,
yeah.
Seems like it could have gone bad. Wow. So you cut your, I mean, all of that, there's no way that we would have known any of that by watching the video. You made it look effortless.
Wonderful. Wonderful. I hope that people notice that the pipe then, because I felt strong for that.
Yeah, I'm gonna go back and watch it now for sure.
That's some real method acting.
I'm gonna make a little clip and be like, look at this pipe. But yeah, that was super cool. Love that.
I'm gonna transition us in a different direction for a little bit because I want to ask about Monday Night Raw. This is like become my favorite new like show on YouTube.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, I watched a bunch
of
them. You
gotta come on it.
Please. Please.
Yeah. What?
Your dream's gonna cut. Did you say like it was your goal to get on it?
Yo, I was talking about this shit. I want to be in that fucking like little lot room. Like, cause I've watched other shows too, and I'm just like, damn, what do I gotta do to get an invite to go just open and just fucking chill?
Just come, yeah, you can just pull up. I mean, I guess if you didn't know the DJ, it might be weird if you went in the booth. But you know me now, so
say
anytime.
Less.
But you should actually come and talk some shit, do a little segment.
Mm. Shit, say less.
Topics. I miss Wendy Williams all the time. Something has to fill the void. Let's do Hot Topics on Monday Night Raw.
I'm ready. Say the word. I'm there. But I really love what you fostered through this platform. Like the music you spin and the guests that you have join you on the show. You've just created this sense of community that I think has gotten lost along the way. It feels very reminiscent of how we used to commune with one another when we were sharing music. I mean, I'm old, I'm 40, so like I come from a different time. And it's very reminiscent of that. I wondered if it feels like you've intentionally tried to create this kind of environment, or is that just something that's happened organically?
Yeah, of course. That's pretty much the only motivation I have to do it. I mean, it's a good thing to do, I guess, as a DJ to have a presence on radio, but you know, I could always just drop mixes. So, you know, yeah. I'm putting them on streaming. So I love linking with people in person. I think it's really nice to have spaces too where you can be in, I don't know, like it doesn't have to be like everybody linking up at like a show or the studio. Like it's kind of like an in-between environment. Like I definitely invite people that I like want to work with or have worked with, or just like I see what they're doing in the scene and I think it's cool. And this is just kind of the only way it would make sense for us to do something together, because they don't like, you know, make beats or anything, but they're just like a DJ doing cool shit in their area. Yeah, I mean, I feel like since I've been around for a minute, I mean, I did radio starting like 8 years ago. I was doing it on Rinse FM in London for 3 years and it was just fun. I feel like it also keeps me sharp and gives me like, okay, like I gotta get new music every month, you know, and I gotta kind of keep, because being a DJ is like so much work and just focusing on production. If I didn't have like DJ like homework, I would just fall off and just be making beats all the time. And I can't just be spinning all my unreleased music all the time. So like, it's a good thing to have for that in terms of my practice too, and keeping up on like all other music other people are releasing. Like I nerd out and get so excited when like people drop stuff. I get excited to play it. But yeah, since doing Rinse, stopped doing that. I did that for like 5 years. I've been doing a couple years here a lot. And it's nice. And I feel like, yeah, I feel like just being around for a while, like I got access to a slot and a lot of people hit me up and are like, I want to play there. Like, that's such a cool station. And I'm like, word, happy to be this. Like, if it's important to you, to me, it's something that slightly drains my pockets. Like, but if this feels like it'll help you get paid or be a good platform for you, like, great. So, and it is cool to have them, how they post it on YouTube. That is something that you do have to pay money for, and I don't have to go and make YouTube content now in this way.
I watched the one today with Nappy Nina and Woods, and at one point you put a piece of tape or like something over the camera, and I'm like, what's going on? And then I was like, oh, Woods is getting ready to rap.
Woods is going on.
Yeah.
That was a dope one, though.
So funny, because the comments are like, it's blurry.
I did.
I'm like, you didn't see me make it blurry?
Yeah.
But it's funny, because some of his fans don't even realize that he doesn't show his face. Like,
yeah. It was very on brand. I was like, okay, I see what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely discussed it with him beforehand. It was that or him wearing some kind of, like, you know, shiesty. But I was like, this is cooler. I like this idea.
I like, yeah, it was good. Yeah. It was good.
He was worried it wouldn't be anonymous enough. I was like, this shit is going to be not, you know.
You couldn't see shit. Like, you couldn't see him at all.
It was like a little weed bag. Like those little, like, ones that you, like, you get the air out of them.
Yeah, yeah.
They're textured, you know? So it was, like, extra security. Okay. Like,
again, on brand.
I'm always jealous of his like just the freedom of that degree of like anonymity.
Yeah, I love how people respect it.
Sure.
Like people don't really take pictures of him. Like his fans are really respect that he doesn't want his face shown, which is a rare thing in 2023. But they do
totally, as they should.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Bit of a transition question here, but I want to ask you about your creative relationship with Moor Mother, 700 Bliss. It just seems so complimentary. She has what feels like an endless capability to rhyme or speak with authority in this highly adaptive way. And that seems to lend itself well to the varying sounds that you incorporate into your music. How much does her ability to like freestyle or improv give you freedom as a producer?
Oh my God, it's just like she has limitless ability, and I just like try to be as big as possible, you know? It's dope. It's like, well, I mean, you know, look, if I send her the weirdest beat in the world, she's not gonna be like, oh my God, I caught the Holy Ghost, I was rapping my butt off, you know? Maybe, or maybe she will be, but like, she'll get something to me eventually. She'll figure out a creative way to do it, make something pretty dope with whatever. I mean, if you listen to Nothing to Declare, there's some really, really minimal, tiny little weird instrumentals. And just like a lot of the sounds and like literal frequencies on the track are her vocals, like, and her doing like really crazy stuff with effects, which she does.
Yeah.
As far as like production stuff, like she does affects her own like vocal design. So yeah, that's like my favorite. That's my like I always say I'm like spoiled and stuff, but I continue to be spoiled and like only get to work with really cool writers who like will do something really dope with any of my beats. I like that. I feel like it's like she's at that level of like ability to make something dope out of pretty much whatever I mean, it's also, you know, the thing also is that I think is that the both of us like do not necessarily like are not necessarily perfectionists about it. And sometimes we are just like the experiments we make are just super duper valid and super duper strong. And it's just like confidence carries us to the destination too, you know?
Well, speaking of more mother.
The babysitter just got paid. Karma just got a raise. Collect your blessings and you're on your way. I'm in line, I'm in line, I'm in line. At the soup kitchen, I'm in line, I'm in line. For some bread, cheese, and some bottled milk. You ain't shit, so you ain't gotta stop and look. Don't waste my time. These people out here trying to steal my shine. These pigs trying to blow my mind. These people trying to stop my grind. It was only a matter of time. Your intro had committed war crimes. Trying to save my black life by fetishizing my dead life. What? Get away from me! You can see my dead body at the protest. You can see my dead body at the protest. You can see my dead body at the protest. You can see my dead body at the protest. Trying to save my black life by fetishizing my dead life. Fuck! Get away from me! Dead body at the protest. You can see my dead body at the protest. You can see my dead body at the protest. You can see my dead body at the protest. Trying to save my black life by fetishizing my dead life. No, get away from me! You can see my dead body at the protest. You can see my dead body at the protest. You can see my dead body at the protest.
Every episode, we ask our guests to pick an album that's not theirs, usually, and
what?
Pick one that might be influential or has had an impact, or maybe it's just a favorite. So tonight we're talking about More Mother. We're talking about Fetish Bones, 2016 release, incredible record. I want to just start by asking you, like, how would you describe your relationship with this project?
Oh my gosh. Wow, I have such a close relationship with it. I love it so much. I listen to it and think of it, and I also immediately think of a poetry book that she self-published by the same name of Fetish Bones. And yeah, I mean, it's one of my favorites. I mean, it's so hard. Like, she has a really great discography, but it's one of my favorites. I guess something also I would say that an important part of my relationship to it is that, like, I'm not on it, but I was, like, around when she was making it and around when she was like performing the original ideas of it and kind of developing it in this way, you know?
Yeah. So you got to be a witness.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What parts of the project do you appreciate the most?
I appreciate the like variety of influences that go into something that still comes out sounding so strong and unconfused. And I mean, it's really just an overall thing because I was re-listening to it, obviously, in anticipation for this. And like More Mother, like as a writer and vocalist and performer, like that's one of my like favorite things about all of the art she does. That's like one of my favorite of her disciplines for sure. But like just even the selection of sounds represent just like so many different influences that I feel like just sound so good with her interpretation. It's like so punk and so like horrorcore and so power electronics and so Philly and so like digital analog, you know, like overlap and it's all just like so her. And I feel like just comes together really beautifully. It's just like I listen to her music literally to give me strength. Like it's also just like I was listening to it too, and it's just like so grateful for the work she makes because she makes it really cool, you know what I mean? Like she spreads like really powerful messages, and very importantly describes her music and the things she does as liberation technologies. But she makes it sound so cool and so sexy and so like, you know, raw. And it's like, yeah, people think that's like corny and you have to be like respectable and like this and this and this. And I feel like all of that shit really just adds up to like, I don't know, more oppression, more confinement of like how to be free and how to you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I have to admit that some of this, I don't think I've heard the whole album in its entirety until like the last couple of days when I was listening to it, and some of it, it was hard for me to listen to. Like there are some tracks that I can't listen to repeatedly, like Creation Myth. Like that was really hard for me just because Rob and I were talking about this before we started the show, just like the names that are being named on here, but it just sort of also feels like this oppression timeline, like starting in the 1800s and going and going and going and going. And it's just like really overwhelming, but like you're saying, it's so important though. Like it's so important for people to hear this, you know, and it doesn't take away from the work, but it is hard to listen to, for me at least.
And you're saying it's the first time you're listening to maybe like that track in particular too?
Yeah, I think I heard it like a long time ago, but I didn't remember it. And I've definitely never listened to the whole thing. So when I was like listening to it intently like this week, it was just really like hitting me. It's just really deep. And I'm also remembering, so I this album really reminds me a lot of what Pink Sifu did on Negro. I don't know if you've heard that, but a lot of the same themes, a lot of the same sort of musical influence, like that you just named. And when both of these albums were released, it's when there was a lot of shit happening. So like in 2016, that was Ferguson. So when a lot of police shootings were happening. And when Sifu did Negro, I think it was 2020 or around that time, the same shit was happening. But it also speaks to the point of this project. Like it just keeps happening over and over and over again. Like I think that's really what More Mother is speaking to on this. But yeah, so in that way, it's some of it is difficult for me to engage with just because I'm remembering that time. And also just to me, it's like sometimes defeating because shit hasn't really changed. Like, and that's sort of what Creation Myth is like sort of channeling for me. Like you have this timeline and like nothing, what's really changed. It might look differently, but like there's still the same shit going on, you know?
Okay. Well, I think that your experience of it is valid. Some of that resonates with me as well, especially I didn't particularly pick it because everyone is speaking of genocide today, but it is something that feels like I was kind of saying, like gives me strength. I feel like at times when I feel like the impact of that kind of like psychological warfare.
Yeah.
I experience it and interpret it as something that's like when it comes to timelines of histories, I think there is like strength in knowing that the struggles that we have today are due to people struggling to make sure that we live to today, to make sure that we even exist at all.
Very true.
And like sometimes it really, really, really does feel like exactly what you're saying, which is how I have been feeling on and off a bit very much lately, which is that like there is no end in sight to struggle.
Yeah.
And the like profoundness and the difficulty of like getting through to people who you can struggle with is getting harder and harder. And I look at these things and be like, people persevered. Like yeah. Some people were so strong and some people were so powerful as one, as a community, that like they made an impact with like just one life. You know what I'm saying? And yeah. Like, I find More Mother to be a person like that. And obviously she does not stand alone. And that is part of the message she conveys.
Yeah.
Is that she struggles with her ancestors. She struggles with the future generations that she hopes to see, you know what I'm saying? It's like,
yeah,
I think I find strength in it in that way, because it's just like, I better find the will to live if somebody who really had, you know, I don't know, like just maybe it's not necessarily so much better, or so much worse or anything like that. But yeah, I can only speak to the experience, like to my own experience.
Yeah.
As well, you know what I mean? So like I cannot speak to the experience of listening to More Mother and listening to Deadbeat Protest and knowing that this was about Black people being killed by the police.
Yeah.
So it's funny because I was listening to an interview that she did today too. And she said, like, oh, people tell me that my music is hard to get into because it's, like, so heavy. And her response is just, like, it's not heavy. It's just, like, every day. What's heavy is that people are, like, ignoring it kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like, I guess that's sometimes how I feel. Like, I feel like I'm driven insane by the fact that, like, even talking about the fact that, like, there has never been a moment of world peace. Like, what are you talking about? Even trying to, like, just look around the room and be like, does anyone realize that? Like, that feels like psychological, like warfare. And I think maybe that's where her and I meet. And then that's why our project kind of makes sense. It's like a very, like, I don't know, let's scream then.
Yeah. Yeah. All of that makes sense.
You know what? You know something that is funny? She herself says she does not listen to our music very much. So I don't think it's very accessible.
Yeah, my initial thought in listening to this record this week was just immediately just how powerful she is and the energy that comes from that. It just feels very, very motivating and inspirational. And I'm the white guy over here, so I have a different experience with the music and with the history attached to it, but it definitely feels like an important reminder. You know, the Bandcamp like description of the record refers to it as something to remember as opposed to something to help you forget. And I just think that's extremely important. In a similar way to like Brian Ennals and Infinity Knives, King Cobra like is this like snapshot of pandemic life, of like COVID life. And I feel like what she's made with this record is a historic document, you know, of this period, 2016, 2015, when we're going through like a new sort of awakening, some of us at least, to the police brutality and violence and oppression. And that to me just feels invaluable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it goes back to something you were saying earlier about like giving away parts of yourself. Like these are like big, like sharing your personal narrative during any point in history as somebody who is like conscious of the struggle of people who are exploited is like a really important cultural historical document, like especially for somebody as brilliant and has a way with words as somebody like More Mother. Like I think another thing I was just thinking about like the context too is that I feel like this is also like it's giving like rap album in the context of like Philly punk, and I think the subject matter in some ways is, you know, like whether it's like so intentionally or just kind of that's what I'm thinking about or not, super abrasive because that's kind of how punk music is, but it's like in this context where these white kids are like just like literally just yelling fuck you on a track just because they want to, you know what I mean? And it's just like, I have pages and pages and hundreds of years that I can yell at you about, you know what I mean? Mm. I don't know, maybe because I'm a Pisces, like the joke with Pisces is that we are sad, we'll be sad and then we'll put on a song to make us cry or something like that. But I'm just your perspective is very valid and it also is, and so is the subject material, you know what I mean? And I'm just maybe I just want to put on a song to cry too.
I have a Pisces moon.
I
feel you. I will say, like, while some of it was hard, a lot of it is also empowering. And I think that for me, when I am thinking about like the traumatic things that my community has gone through, is going through, or is seeing what we're going through, like I need to find solidarity somewhere. So I would look to an album like this to do that. Like, even though some of it might be hard to listen to, there are also moments where it's just like, yes, like I could just feel, I don't feel alone. Do you know what I'm saying? So like, I think that's also an important piece of this. And one of the things I really appreciate what she's done on this album is the voices that she's used, like the sampled, like singing that she uses, like it really is channeling like community and like our ancestors. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. it just feels, I don't know, like it just feels like there's so many different voices being used on this outside of her own. And I love that it's so brilliant to me.
Mm-hmm. It is. And it's like, it's, I feel so lucky to be in proximity. And to, even if I was just a fan, I could only imagine being just like a kid and like yeah. finding this project and stuff like that. Yeah. Cause it's like, ooh, brilliant people did this work so that you don't have to walk alone. And it just yeah. feels so good to be like, to yeah. remember that and to be like, okay, like that's kind of what I'm saying. It's like, okay, like I'm over here reaping the benefits of somebody like Moor Mother who is a nerd and who does so much research and who is like very tuned into important people to sample, important sounds to sample, important reasons to use different drums and how it'll affect people. And like, the least I could do is figure out how to continue conveying these ideas. And I don't know, like, yeah, not let myself be alone, because then I'm a resource to no one. I'm just, you know?
Mm. I'm thinking about what you just said about being a kid and like finding this.
Right.
I thought a bit about Public Enemy as I was listening to this record. And I think there's a lineage here in that regard, you know, like the harshness, in the sounds at times, the like noise, the power in the lyrics, like in some way, and I don't know if this was intentional on her part, but in some way, you know, I think she's carrying on something that was started a long time ago, sonically, like musically. And everybody who discovered Public Enemy as a kid was impacted by them the way that they were. Like, it's fun to think about, or encouraging to think about, like people discovering this at a young age and like what they're going to do with it.
Mm-hmm. I love when I notice like little like barb things in Moor Mother's music. Like, there'll be some real like Nicki Minaj references. And I'm like, yes.
Oh man, I can't end this without just mentioning, I think it's the second track. You know what I'm talking about.
I do. The hymn sample.
Parallel Nightmares. Yeah. Parallel Nightmares. She's singing soon and very soon. We are going to kill the king. And I just.
We are going to kill the king. Tell a story, hold a trance, and twist the land, and the fifth is branded, and blood and revolution, caught by the tail, I order, Jimmy Fly slaughter, side-eye caught right out of thin air, thick thighs, keep the moon in, start the fire, burn the liar, sacrifice for the new year, ritual quantum, reverse the clock, bring back our light years, eyes spear, another ending in this right here, parallel nightmares, no fear, sonic old everywhere, listen here, these are hymns, I ain't rhyming, on my fullest time, with the pills in my pocket, no yeah, no time, no profit. Rushing you, let go hard till I meet my maker. Giving you the best of me to make a rapture. 64,000 black girls missing, no capture. But always the benefactor, manufactured. Dark matter, attack, and disaster. Time don't pass, the cycle the same before and after. They bloodbath, you're so sincere. I spear another ending, and it's right here. Parallel nightmares.
I died because I, you know, I grew up in church singing uh-huh. that hymn, and uh-huh. I was just like, oh man, I love that she flipped it like that. It's just amazing.
Yeah, it's very like uninhibited. I love sound design. It's so effective. It's so effective here. I'm just like taken away by it. I love projects like that where it just feels like I don't have to do anything else but listen to it. That's like the whole activity.
Yeah.
It's an important part of being a DJ. I have to try to convince people to not be on their phones, you know?
Right.
Play more and more Mother.
Yeah.
All right. Well, DJ Haram, thank you so much for this conversation. Really appreciate you picking this album and making time for us. It's been great.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is there anything? Sorry, were you going to say something?
No, I was just going to say thank you. So great to chat. And thank you for listening to my stuff. And giving me some feedback. I'm honored amongst y'all's roster of guests.
Please, we are honored.
Oh, yeah,
please.
I didn't realize we would talk about my project so much.
Oh, yeah, but... for sure. Is there anything you want folks to know about what's coming, where to find things?
Yeah, you know, DJ Haram, Premium Haram, Haram Authentic, Monday Night Raw, 700 Bliss, Hyperdub, 700 Bliss album coming maybe sometime next year. DJ Haram EP coming December 1st, another one coming, another album coming next year, lots of collabs out here fighting the good fight, trying to keep my head up.
Indeed.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, DJ Haram, folks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for listening, everyone. This has been The Next Movement.
Peace. I feel like this. I feel like this. Like really this. You know how they do in Jamaica. Trinidad. Haiti. Senegal. The ethology of dance. Like dancing, like really dancing. I feel like dancing, like really dancing, like really dancing. Really dancing. I feel like dancing, like really dancing. Like how they do in Jamaica, in Trinidad, Haiti. Matriarch of black dance.